Slam at VS Live, and my guests are Ben Holting, Eric Boyd, and Phil Japixi. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing good.
How are you doing?
Great.
I'm doing excellent. This is my first VS Live. I'm just having a blast.
All right.
I was surprised to learn that you guys did a talk together, all three of you. It wasn't on the schedule. I was looking for it. What ended up being the title of this talk? Ben?
Well, so the way this came about was Eric was doing a talk on PhoneGap. I was doing a talk on Telerik platform. And the two had a lot of overlap, especially just building hybrid apps. So I don't know what the final
title for
the session was. I think we just put it together.
Okay.
Because, yeah, we just kind of threw this together in, what, like an hour before we started. And we brought Phil in because Phil's from Telerik, so he has a lot of experience with the tools and the Telerik platform. So he helped us fill that gap. And it went well. It was a little rushed, but I think we got it all out there and gave the attendees what they wanted.
Okay, Eric, tell us what was the goal? What were you trying to communicate in this hybrid talk?
Yeah, so for us, it's, here at an event like VS Live, you have a lot of Microsoft platform developers, people who are familiar with web technologies, so things like HTML5, JavaScript, CSS, that sort of thing. But there's probably not a lot of folks here that are familiar with iOS development using Xcode and Objective-C, as well as Android development using tools like Eclipse and Java. So with that, those same developers still would like to build apps and target that large audience of iOS and Android users. And there's a way to do that with those web technologies using Apache Cordova. And so that was the gist of it, is how can you repurpose your knowledge and your skills and still build apps for those platforms with all those users and be the next WhatsApp or, you know, Flappy Bird or something like that?
Well, I think an important thing that we wanted to convey, there's so much hype out there about, you know, everything's going to be native mobile or, you know, do it with the web or other products. And there's this whole hybrid segment that Cordova brings to the table that people just aren't aware about. And so the part of the talk that I covered, I had taken some excerpts from a talk that I give on hybrid development that just explains the landscape. You know, what is the difference between building a web app that you can enable for mobile, building native mobile apps versus building hybrid? And I think the audience really didn't have a good understanding going into it. And I think between, you know, talking about those differences and what these two demoed, I think it really drove the point home.
Yeah, that is a big challenge. So it's a lot to ask a developer to learn all those three platforms intimately and be good at them. I'm going to learn Java, I'm going to learn the Android development tools, I'm going to learn iOS and iPhone development tools, and I'm going to learn .NET and the Windows Phone development tools. So I've abstracted away like a tool like Cordova. The advantage is that I can just use more or less one skill set. I don't have to dive deep into some of those, right?
Yeah, exactly. So one of my roles as technical director is to try to provide value to the client and get them, you know, out in the mobile environment quickly. And so just what you said, there's a learning curve involved with iOS and Eclipse and all the stuff that you have to do to go native. And quite honestly, a lot of apps out there don't need that.
Right.
You know, so if we can reuse, like we already do custom web development at Aspen, where my company, so, you know, why not reuse those skills across different projects, whether it's mobile, whether it's custom web, or even additions to SharePoint, things like that. I mean, it feels like HTML5, JavaScript, and CSS is everywhere. And I know you being CEO and founder of your company, you probably pick hybrid apps for pretty much the same reason, right?
Yeah, so exactly the same thing as what Ben was saying. We do the exact same thing for the same reasons. I mean, for example, you know, would you like to build an app for the iOS? I know you work for Microsoft, but you would be okay.
I would love to build an iOS app.
Okay.
I don't know iOS well.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you have tons of experience building web apps and that sort of thing, right? Do you have a MacBook?
I do not.
Right. So you already have these barriers to entry to even build an app for iOS. And even using Cordova in its pure form, using Apache Cordova, you would still need a MacBook. And so that's where things like Phil's company comes into play with Telerik and App Builder, because now you can do everything on Windows, you can do everything in Visual Studio, and build a Cordova app and never have to have a MacBook or never have to open Eclipse or Xcode or any of that. So that's a pretty compelling thing for a Microsoft developer and a web developer to be able to do that.
Well, and the other thing that we bring to the table with App Builder is we've got the Visual Studio extension. So if you like the Visual Studio IDE, mm-hmm. which most Microsoft developers do, or at least they're used to it whether they like it or not, so you can do all of your hybrid development right inside of Visual Studio. And then we extend the menus within Visual Studio so you can submit it to the store right from there. So we do cloud builds. You know, as Eric said, you don't have to have a Mac. You can run it in the simulator right in Visual Studio. You can submit to the store. And we just announced today, which will be some time ago by the time this airs, but we'll do a little time travel podcast thing. So today, which is March 13th.
It'll be about a month when this comes out.
We have Windows Phone support now built in to the App Builder as well. So we do all the builds for you. We do all the store submissions. We do it all for you.
Okay. So this is a commercial product?
So there's a free version.
Okay.
The free version allows you to do everything you can do in the pay version except for submit to the store.
I see. Okay. Let me can somebody clear up a point of confusion that I've had. So you mentioned Apache Cordova a couple times, which is an open source project. I know this because it says Apache in the title. but it used to be called PhoneGap, right?
Yeah, so
and
this
there's
is...
something else now called PhoneGap that's very much related to
yes, this is a little bit of confusion. So PhoneGap originally was this open source way to build hybrid native apps, basically, but with these web technologies, so hybrid
so
apps.
JavaScript, right?
Exactly. And that's what PhoneGap really was this library. Mm. Then Adobe came in and bought PhoneGap from a software company called Adobe Software. And in doing so, what they did was, you know, they put PhoneGap, it kind of migrated to Apache Cordova. So that's the open source piece of it. That's what we've all known as PhoneGap, but it's no longer synonymous. So open source Apache Cordova, that's what we just use to build apps. Mm-hmm. PhoneGap is now commercial tooling around Apache Cordova from Adobe. So it's
for the
paid.
Build process.
Right now, it's just build, but who knows where they're going with it. But that's where they're using the PhoneGap brand is commercial tooling around Apache Cordova. So very similar to what Telerik is doing, except Telerik provides so much more than build. So right now, PhoneGap is just doing builds in the cloud. So the way we get around not having a MacBook and the right way we get around not using Xcode is by doing a build in the cloud where there are Macs to do that build.
And that cloud belongs to Telerik?
Well, in the App Builder case, yes. But in the Adobe case, PhoneGap has their own build cloud. But right now, that's all PhoneGap is, and Telerik provides so much more for us as Microsoft developers with App Builder. So we get the Visual Studio extension like Phil was talking about and what have you. So.
Okay. These are the tools of yours. So you're not using the Adobe product at all in your work environment?
No, not really.
Are you using the Telerik tools?
We are. Yeah, I am. Okay.
Yep, we are too.
All right.
Yep.
Okay, so there's a lot of, and you are too, yours. I guess I assumed that. there's a lot of good tools out there. I just want to get a feel for what you guys have experienced.
And the Telerik tools, just another point of clarification, the Telerik tools used to be called Icenium. Mm-hmm. We're talking about App Builder, but it used to be called Icenium until just recently, and there was a rename, a rebrand, and so now it's Telerik App Builder. So if you have used Icenium in the past, you're now looking for Telerik App Builder.
Okay.
And beyond that, these tools...
Icenium's a better name, by the way.
Yeah, well...
But I work for a company that's also not great at naming.
Yeah, apps. Right, yeah. So the thing I think that's important here is if you... You know, Phil just mentioned this, but there's, you know, Windows Phone just released support for Windows Phone with App Builder. If you've used Icenium in the past, I spend a lot of time with Windows Azure, and it's very much the same. Like, the evolution and the rate of change right now with App Builder... And Icenium has been incredible. There's new stuff coming all the time. And so if you used Icenium 12 months ago, you should go check it out again as App Builder because there's so much more there than there was
Excellent.
A year ago.
Excellent. Yeah. Can someone give me an idea for what the workflow looks like when I decide I'm going to create a cross-platform application using these tools? I go into Visual Studio, File, New. Is that where I start?
Go ahead.
I'll start it, Phil, and then I'll hand it over to you. But, so the first thing you have to do is install the App Builder extension for Visual Studio, if that's what you're going to use.
Okay.
Now,
I want to talk about you guys' workflow. So.
Yeah, okay. So my workflow is, we have that already installed. And so what that does is it gives you templates inside of Visual Studio. So when I go file new project, I now have a Telerik area, mm-hmm. and I can go into App Builder, and there's a few templates I can use. I can just do a blank one if I want to just do straight HTML, or I can do a jQuery UI-based project, jQuery mobile, or I can do a Kendo UI mobile-based project as well.
Okay. And Kendo UI Dataviz.
Oh yeah, Dataviz. That's right. Yep, that's right. And so, so you can start with those, and you get a a working functional sample app out of the box. And it is kind of hello worldish, but at least it gives you the idea of the structure. And so, for anyone who is used to doing SPA applications, single page applications in the web, it's very, very similar to that, where you create your views and your templates, and then the Kendo framework or jQuery or whatever you're using takes care of the navigation and takes care of switching those views in and out on the screen. And so originally you start with that, and then you can just start. What we did in the demo yesterday was you can start pulling in some of your CSS from your web project and start reusing that if you want to, but you can also use Kendo out of the box, which is nice because when you switch from iOS to Android, it'll actually update the styles for you and make it look like a native Android app versus an iOS app.
Let's talk about that. When you start switching styles, are you talking about in the development environment, I'm switching styles? Am I creating different views for different
platforms? Yeah, no. So you create the view once, and then Kendo or App Builder and Kendo UI Mobile really will take care of determining whether you're on Android device or an iOS device. I'm not sure how it works with the Windows phone since that's just coming out, but I'm assuming it'll do the same type of thing.
Yeah, so actually Kendo UI Mobile has been around a lot longer than App Builder or Isenium. And just to be clear, one of the reasons we renamed it from Isenium, the ICE part of Isenium is for integrated cloud environment, but it's so much more than just the integrated cloud environment. So we've got a cloud-based IDE, we've got a local one you can install, plus the Visual Studio extensions. We're really talking about end-to-end building.
What did NEM stand for?
ICE was... it was.
That's Latin for ICE baby.
That was actually an internal contest, and it sounded cool.
All right.
But jQuery Mobile's been out for a while, and it's always had the ability, Kendo UI Mobile has been out for a while, and we've had the ability to make your app look like iOS, Android, or Windows Phone for quite some time. And that's an opt-in, right? So I can optionally say, yes, I want you being Kendo UI Mobile, reskin this app based on what device I'm on. And so it'll move the app bars from the top to the bottom, and things like that. We also have a flat layout, which is much more modern UI-ish, if you will, so you don't have to have it update. It really depends on what you want to do with your app. Because initially, everybody wanted it, an iOS app to look like an iOS app, and an Android app to look like an Android app, and a Windows Phone app for the five of us that have Windows Phone look like a Windows Phone app.
I guess we're all in this room right now.
Yeah, I think all of us we better have data backup somewhere. More and more companies are wanting to have their own identity across devices.
Oh, okay.
So that's why with Kendo UI Mobile, we can tell it to either, yes, adapt to the platform that you're targeting or to keep your same styling.
Okay. So you could choose to look like the platform, or you could brand it to look like, Dave's company style.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's my style. I branded that. Is that done at runtime, or is that done at compile deploy time?
Well, it's just using CSS3 capabilities to basically like media tags.
So
and
on
I say like media tags.
On my Android device, I would still get code for the code style for an iPhone. I'm just not using that code. I'm switching to some conditional logic at runtime that will.
Well, so it depends. It can be done at runtime, or you can do it build time.
I see. Okay.
Just while we're talking about that, I also attended a session here on just Kendo UI Mobile, and he didn't do anything with App Builder or any special things with the platform, the Celeric platform, but he just did it inside of a website, and then he just basically his emulator was the Safari browser, and he would shrink it, and it would automatically adapt and look like it should on an iOS version or vice versa. So you can do it without with inside App Builder or just with your web apps if you want to do responsive web design as well.
And along those lines, in your question about workflow, how do we work with this stuff? And so I've been using this product for a long time. So I've been using Isenium for a long time before the Visual Studio extension and what have you. And so my workflow is slightly different for some projects because I haven't converted them to use Visual Studio yet. And so the way, in some cases, my workflow, there's Git integration on the back end. And so sometimes I'm pulling from Git editing files in Visual Studio, viewing in Chrome with a resized Chrome browser window to an exact, you know, iOS device or something like that, pushing it back out to Git, pulling it from, you know, a Telerik App Builder IDE, which causes the cloud build to happen. And so there's a lot of ways to do this depending on how you want to do it. But you can work in the browser, you can work in a Windows client, you can work in Visual Studio. There's a lot of ways that you can do this with Telerik App Builder. So
okay. As with these tools, are we going to be pushing actually a native app down to the store, or are we just is this a page that runs in a browser, or what exactly does the user get, the end user get?
So Cordova is interesting. I have a slide about this in my talk that kind of lays out the architecture because it's, you know, relatively complex. What happens is at the core you have native APIs to the device. Above that, what you have is basically an app with a browser embedded in the app full screen, mm-hmm. and then you have an adapter that talks to the native APIs and exposes those native APIs. Think of it just like an adapter sort of pattern, exposes them to the browser via JavaScript. Mm-hmm. And so that's your adapter back down to those native APIs. And then what you can do is Cordova sits on top of all of that. From your JavaScript and HTML and CSS, you're building apps, your JavaScript's talking to that Cordova JS library that's causing all of that stuff to happen inside the browser control in the mm-hmm. app.
Okay.
But it's not like you're loading a web page in. It's not like you're just wrapping a web page that's out there. It's that just happens to be the technologies you're using.
Okay. And you'd have hooks into the native operating system, so you can get APIs to do things I don't know, accelerometer or
You have APIs to work with all of that.
Camera.
Exactly. And so
is that where you find a lot of conditional logic is, or you have to write it slightly differently for the for one platform versus another?
Abstracted away for us. And so now there's some small like details that might be a little different based on different features that are available on a different device. But that's what Cordova does is, you know, it adapters the native APIs so that we don't have to worry about that. We write it, you know, we tap into those APIs mm-hmm. in one unified way. So.
Okay.
Eric, can I ask you this? So, I mean, you're talking about adapters, and usually when I hear that, I think performance, right? There's going to be a performance hit there. So can we talk a little bit about, you know, the performance differences between this hybrid type versus just a straight native app?
Yeah, I can answer that really quickly, and I'll let Phil answer that as well, because I know he talked about that a little bit yesterday. So.
Yeah, and in the future, I'll ask the questions, okay?
That's right, I'm just kidding.
Ooh. There's a performance overhead a little bit, not because of this adapter business, but really more because the web browsers on native devices are typically not hardware accelerated. They're not optimized for native apps. So you're not going to be doing 3D games in the native browser at rapid frames per second.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're just not going to do that.
Right.
You could still build games, and people are doing it. There are games out in the store right now that are built with PhoneGap, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's not what it's really designed for. And so it's because the browsers just aren't optimized for that. And Phil can talk about that a little more in some cases, and I'm sure he'll talk about it, but in some cases they're intentionally not optimized for that. So,
yeah. And you know, the most famous case was a certain company that has devices with white plugs that intentionally slowed down the web view control because they were trying to put a hindrance on hybrid apps, right? They wanted things to be mobile. Or a native mobile.
I'm surprised they haven't just forbidden this. They've just excluded a lot of apps.
Yeah, and you know, that's a risk you might run. I think the community has spoken loud and proud, and I think they've backed off. And in the latest version, you know, those intentional performance hits have been taken out. But at the end of the day, you really have to think about what makes sense. What are you writing? Am I writing a game that I'm hoping will be the next Flappy Birds or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Then I probably want to write it native,
right?
Am I writing just something that I want people to be able to access my site and get directions to where my store is? I'm probably going to write a web, right, and use, you know, responsive design and things like that to really make sure the MVC5 features where I get view switching and everything else to write an app that just I don't care about their hardware. Hybrid is a really nice, you know, it's the sweet spot in the middle. you get a lot more reach because you're writing the code once. And it's not like back in the C++ days where it was write once, debug everywhere. You know, it really is. It works on all. You get plugins. So if there's some features that aren't available in the core Cordova, there's a whole community of people making plugins. iOS just released a new thing where you could change the background color of the command bar. And in core Cordova, you couldn't access that. But there within days, there was a plugin available where you could go in, and then you do a compile, and then you have access to those API features.
One of the advantages of open source software is that community that's out making it better every day.
And so along those lines, to be a little explicit about that, so if you are an iOS developer and you can sling Objective-C and you're comfortable in Xcode, then you can also pretty easily build your own plugins to do that adaptering. So if there's a feature that you don't have access to for some reason or something that's just new, you can build your own plugins. Or maybe you just don't like the plugins that are out there. So, yeah.
Anything we haven't talked about that we should have?
One more thing that I'd like to add just from our client's perspective, too. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if David's out of questions, I'll ask some more questions. But one of the things from our client standpoint as well is that, you know, a lot of times when people come to us, because we do native as well, and when people come to us with native, when the project's over and we give them the code, they don't have anybody on staff that even knows how to submit the app to the store, right? So all that knowledge is now with us as the consulting firm instead of with the client. So I think by, you know, opening this up and allowing, you know, these web developer tools, it opens up our clients to be able to take what we give them and maintain it. Right. Without having to always come back to us or having us on retainer for any bugs or any support that comes up along the way. So that's another one of the huge benefits that I see of building these types of mobile apps.
That's a great point. When I was a consultant, I always felt empowering the client was a big part of my job.
Absolutely.
Because long-term, that's a much better strategy for keeping that relationship going.
You know, one thing I want to add, and Eric did a great job of showing the pain of doing it by hand. You know, writing a Cordova app and then the build process and submitting and everything else, it's really a lot of steps. One thing that we've really tried to do at Telerik is extrapolate away that pain. So you can just focus on writing your app and solving your customer's need. The whole build process, the whole submission process, of course, you have to still provision yourself as a developer with the respective stores. But we really wanted to make it simple so you could just write it. And the other thing that we've done is we've made the app builder and the entire platform for free at an entry level. So you can go, if you want to just learn how to do this and not have to learn all the moving pieces, you know, get a trial version of App Builder, and, you know, as long as you're not submitting to the store, it's free. So you can write your apps, you can play with the Cordova plugins and things like that and get some experience in the mobile, you know, and if you like it, then figure out which tool you're going to use. But we want to make it very easy for people to enter this market.
Excellent. And they can download that at Telerik.com, correct?
Absolutely.
Where do they get Cordova?
So you can go get Cordova, you know, on your own if you wanted to. You'd you can use Node. Node's the easiest way to do this. So there's lots of documentation out there on PhoneGap.org, but you can use Node to install PhoneGap. And we're overloading the word PhoneGap here because what we really mean is Cordova. Okay. But you can use Node to do that on your MacBook or whatever. But the pain associated with doing that way is a little more than, significantly more than if you were just to go grab App Builder and use it. And App Builder will pull Cordova in for you. So.
App Builder will pull Cordova. Okay, that's what I'm asking. Great. Yep. I didn't realize that. Last question is you guys have an online presence. What we're going to find more about you guys. Ben?
So my Twitter handle is BenHNet. And I do have a blog. Same thing, BenHBlog.com. So that's how you can get a hold of me.
And online, I am Eric D. Boyd on Twitter and ericdboyd.com.
And I am Ski Medic. Ski is in snow ski and medic is in paramedic. SkiMedic.com everywhere. So about me /SkiMedic. SkiMedic.com is my blog. Ski Medic on Twitter.
Excellent. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
A lot of good stuff. I learned something today.
All right. Thank you, David.
So because of these friends, technology is awful difficult to talk about.
I love coming to conferences like Visual Studio Live and sharing awesome technology with friends and attendees?
I like discussing technology with my friends, both here at conferences and also at my workplace.